Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Dorsey Wright video for January the 2nd of 2018. I'm Jay Greg Nanny.
And I'm Ben Jones.
And Happy New Year, everybody. Hope everybody had a nice, good, long holiday weekend or week or week and a half, depending on how much time you decided to take off, spend at home. And hopefully everybody's bundled up. I don't know about... I know, it's cold here. It's cold. It was single digits in Richmond, Virginia when we woke up this morning. We are certainly not equipped to deal with that on a regular basis. I know many of you, in seeing all of the weather maps, if you're in other parts of the country, the Northeast and the Chicago area as well, you're frigid. So we certainly feel for you. So appreciate you joining us this morning with hopefully a hot cup of coffee. And the first video of 2018, what we wanted to do is spend just a few minutes kind of talking about, obviously, what 2017 was, very briefly. You know, you all are very well aware of what happened in 2017, but also what things that we're looking at heading into 2018. And now is the time of year that we always see the predictions. The market pundits are out there talking about the S&P is going to finish here and Dow's going to do this. And, you know, what we wanted to do is just kind of lay out a few of the things that we're looking at today that we think are meaningful charts to look at headed into 2018. And so with that, you know, 2017 now in the books officially as of last week goes down on record as the best year since 2013 for the market. The S&P on a price return basis was up about 19.5%. And you know what's interesting when you look across the board, it really was a broad move higher, a broad rally higher in the market. Whether you look in from a sector perspective or even a cap perspective, I mean the worst performing index or worst performing ETF from kind of the broad cap space was small caps. That you know the SML 600 index was up 11%, and that was the worst. And you know, you look on a sector basis as well. Look at all of the broad sectors, and only one out of the 10 or 11, if you include real estate, broad sectors was down in 2017, and that was the energy sector, which was down in 2017. So 17 obviously is going to go down as a good year, a double digit, 20% year if you look on a total return basis. But I think the bigger thing there is that it was a very broad rally for the U.S. equity market.
Yeah, it really was, you know, sector styles, as you mentioned. What's interesting, too, is that, you know, if you look at the Daily Equity Report today, there's a new white paper that John Lewis has put out out of our money management group about kind of how correlations between and among, you know, sub-industries has gone down and at its lowest point in a few years. I mean, that's an indication that you are seeing breadth, you are seeing dispersion to some extent. Some areas are going up, some areas are going down. Those areas that are going up, it was really across the board for U.S. equities. What's interesting, too, is that, you know, there was some chatter on the message board kind of looking at some of the indicators, you know, talking about, you know, are we at a point where the generals have, the soldiers have left the field, so to speak. And if you look at, you know, the cap-weighted indexes, it kind of looks like that because you saw large cap really was the leader, especially the large growth area.
Yeah.
If you look at the traditional S&P indexes, you see that the S&P 500 outperformed both the S&P 400, which is mid-cap, as well as the S&P 600, which is small-cap. Yet, when you look at some of the other areas within that space and the other factors, there was opportunity, right? You did see dispersion from the momentum camp within small cap, which, you know, if you look at, let's say, the PowerShares small cap ETF, managed to outperform, you know, the cap-weighted S&P 600, which is interesting, seeing that, you know, we did see not only size and style, but also kind of some factors emerge as some leaders last year. And that carried over to the international equity space. You know, one of the major drivers last year was the U.S. dollar. You know, the U.S. dollar just had a very bleak and weak year, which really, you know, helped a lot of the international equity space. And if you look at international equities, you saw breadth. It wasn't a market or a year where it was just either emerging or developed. It was both, right? You saw both outperform and do well, which certainly helped any kind of strategic diversified portfolio, as well as tactical portfolios that were able to overweight both U.S. and domestic, international and domestic.
Yeah, and you mentioned it earlier. I mean, they're obviously just buying the index was a good thing to do last year, but there was, if you look at things like PIE, which is the Emerging Market Momentum ETF versus EEM, there was about 5% of excess return to be had there within the momentum weighted momentum version of emerging market. Same thing on PIZ. the momentum guided weighted version of the developed market. So certainly some opportunity that existed out there, and certainly a time where you come off a year like a 19% to 20% move higher, 25% in the Dow, more so in the NASDAQ 100. And the biggest question is, can the rally last? Is it sustainable? And you know, you go back and one of the things that we want to do is focus on the information at hand. We don't want to look out and say market was up 20%. It means it can't go any lower. You know, when we look at the indicators today, we enter 2018 with U.S. equities being ranked number one in Dolly, with international equities being ranked number two, very closely behind in Dolly, and the New York Stock Exchange bullish percent is still in the column of X's and actually added another X just last month. So, you know, all of this, when you start to lay the cards on the table and just ask yourself what is happening in the market right now, we continue to see demand and control of the market. We continue to see trends in general are positive. And so one of the other charts, speaking of trends, when you look at the PTNX's chart, so if you look at all 40 of the DWA groups that we follow and look at the number of those sector PT charts that are in X's, that chart actually reversed up just last month, in the month of December as well, suggesting that not only are we seeing stocks, more stocks moving to buy signals indicative on the New York Stock Exchange bullish percent, BPNYC, by moving up to 66%. But we're also seeing sector PT charts, therefore individual stocks and sectors, move back into positive trends as well. So again, a couple of charts, as we mentioned earlier, things that we're watching headed into 2018. Dolly, certainly a very, very important one to watch just from a macro trend perspective, focusing on U.S. and international, continuing to be the top areas, but then also some of the other risk indicators that we're looking at, things like BP and PT charts as well.
Yeah, they're all pretty healthy heading into 2018. And again, if we're allocating towards sectors, technology, financials, industrials, consumer cyclical lead Dolly, large cap growth, mid cap blend, small cap growth lead the size and style camp. Again, more of a bias towards growth. Internationally, emerging markets, you see some, emerging Europe is at that number one spot in the international ranking. You're seeing some change there as some rotation with Turkey and Russia and Poland. But I think really the two important areas to watch within the international equity space this year, based off of the ranking, is Asia developed and Asia emerging. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been across the board. You've seen momentum flowing in that area, whether it's China, Japan, India, some other areas as well. An area that we really need to pay attention to in 2018 is fixed income. You're seeing some rotation and change there, just looking at the complexion of interest rates. If you take a step back, what happened in 2018, you saw some choppiness with interest rates. It was in a positive trend, then it was in a negative trend, and back to a positive trend. That's where we are today. If you look at the 10-year index, which tracks the U.S. Treasury 10-year yield index, TNX on our system, it came down to the bullish support line back in October, kind of hit some support there at that 2.325%, which is around 23.25 on the chart, and it's managed to work off of that support above the bullish support line. So interest rates right now are in a positive trend, which doesn't bode well for traditional kind of U.S. Treasury exposure, quality fixed income, risk-off exposure within the bond space. So that's something we're paying attention to right now. Fixed income is hanging out in there in the middle spot in Dolly, but we see commodities coming up. So right now, what's working within the fixed income space? Areas that you would expect, right? It's corporate bonds, high yield. We have seen international debt kind of improve as well. But we need to pay attention to that, because right now commodities is an area that has really improved really over the last few months.
Yeah. I mean, specifically, you look over the past 5 months, so since the end of July, and commodities has been the most improved asset class within Dolly. And so that's just measured by the number of buy signals that the commodity asset class has been able to garner over the past 5 months, which is up 45 signals. And it's important, though, to look at that and see it's still ranked number four, so it hasn't been able to get up to the ranks of U.S. or international equities by any means. But it's certainly something to pay attention to. A lot of those signals have been picked up at the expense of fixed income and cash. And so you haven't seen commodities compete with the top two yet from a strength perspective, but you're beginning to see some movements, and you start to look underneath the surface, and crude oil, the energy markets certainly have made a move in the past couple of months. Crude CL forward slash is a symbol on our system, has moved up to $60. You've seen that happen. You look at a chart of like GLD, GLD is in a positive trend, just recently pulled back, held its trend line, and has reversed back into a positive trend. So, you know, really for the first time in a while, there's some at least good things from a trend basis, from an absolute perspective, to be able to talk about and discuss on the commodity front. And that'll be a situation to continue to watch, is can commodities overtake fixed income in Dolly? That'll be the first thing. If commodities wants to make a run at that number one ranking, it has a lot to do to get there, but the first hurdle will need to overcome the fixed income asset class,
right,
which obviously is very, very closely tied in a lot of respects to the interest rate movement. So we'll watch that. Crude oil and gold, obviously the two biggest, but there's a lot of other areas out there, a lot of ETFs. If you're looking for commodity exposure, one of the best things to do is go into Dolly, and you can click on the different subsectors. So you can click on energy, and it'll pull up a list of ideas for ETF ideas within that space, and precious metals and so on and so forth there. So we'll continue to monitor that. Cash and currencies continue to be the bottom dwellers within Dolly, and the market, or at least Dolly, continues to suggest a risk on type of environment for assets in general.
That's where we stand.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if you look at it, it's a year where, you know, you didn't see a lot of rotation up at the top, right, with international, domestic leading. And so what does this mean going forward?
Yeah.
I think is important. It means that, you know, we still need to be active, or rather proactive, where, you know, make sure that, you know, there is still risk present in the market. And so make sure that you continue to, you know, set alerts on any model holdings, set alerts on any individual positions, just that there is change if we do see volatility kind of emerge in the marketplace. You know, make sure that you watch these indicators that you mentioned. You know, these indicators, you know, measure risk and measure participation. And while they're nexus and they are offensive and we do see them rising, that too can change. And so, you know, sometimes you see the shorter term indicator, like the 10-week and the 30-week, you know, really, you know, turnover first. And, you know, that'll be the first sign that, A, maybe we might see a pullback, which I think for some, everyone's been waiting for, right?
Yeah.
That pullback to, you know, either if you have cash on the sidelines to work in the market. And of course, Dolly gives you that big picture. If you start to see asset class change, that means we were beginning to see rotation, which means tactical asset managers would need to adjust. So, you know, tools that you can allow to be proactive, you know, the alerts, for example, and as well as, you know, make sure you monitor the indicators.
Yeah. You mentioned one other thing, volatility. And for a second, I think it's worth talking about volatility. If you, you know, if you look at any measure, use the VIX as an example. Volatility in 2017 was very, very low. I mean, multiple times it was down around 9, 9.5, 10. The reality is the market, the S&P 500 in 2017, did not see even a 5% correction. The last 5% correction the market has seen is the summer of 2016, so about a year and a half. And that's the last time that chances are your clients experienced a similar 5% type of correction. And so it's certainly something to keep in mind that from a historical perspective, the S&P 500 has pulled back about 3.5 times per year, at least 5%.
Mm-hmm.
So 3.5 times a year the market's pulled back. We haven't seen one in a year and a half. And so on average, we see 1 10% pullback per year. We haven't seen that in a couple years now. So that's something to keep in mind, that while the market is certainly due for a pullback, it doesn't mean it has to. We might go the duration of 2018 without seeing a 5 to 10% pullback. And so we'll deal with that as it comes. But if and when we do see a 5 or 10% correction in the future, that is something that from a historical perspective is a very normal condition in the market. That is something that as you're having conversations with clients, that is a very, very normal condition. Again, 3.5 times a year, the S&P 500 pulls back at least 5%. One time per year, the S&P 500 pulls back 10%. Now, those are averages, and what we know about averages is you know, that no one year is ever the absolute average. So, you know, maybe we see 2 10% corrections this year. Who knows? We'll see, and we'll let the indicators and we'll let the markets and the charts dictate and tell us when it's time to be a little bit more defensive, if that were to happen, or be, as we are today, positioned more offensively. And also note, you know, you go back to a year like 2017, call it 20% year for the S&P 500. The last time we saw a 20% year was 2013. The S&P 500 was up 29%. 2014 followed that year up with another double-digit return of 11%. So just because the market was up doesn't mean it can't continue to go up. But it's also a time that we need to make sure we have a disciplined game plan to manage risk if we do find ourselves into a market environment that would warrant that. Right now, we are certainly not in an environment where we need a whole lot of risk management on the table. But so things you mentioned to watch for, things like Dolly, things like bullish percent, things like cash percentile ranks, those are going to be the indicators that we want to look at to let us know and understand when the time is to begin to get a little bit more defensive headed into 2018.
And going forward, we'll work that into the daily equity report. So, you know, with this week, it's customary. We'll do our, Q4 2017 updates, the 2017 performance updates, making you aware of kind of what happened, last year. That way you can prepare for, this year, so to speak. And then we'll start talking strategies, right? Mm-hmm. Over the next few weeks in the Daily Equity Report, we'll provide some, stock lists for 2018. We'll also do, some strategy updates, like our, one of our popular strategies that we do at the end of January is the Dogs of the Dow Covered Right portfolio. So stay tuned for some of those features that will be in the Daily Equity Report over the next few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, one last thing. I keep on saying that. I think I said that three points ago. Speaking of the Daily Equity Report, though, as you're beginning to go through either client reviews this year or begin a prospecting campaign for next year, be sure to go back and look at the 12 Days of Christmas series that we put in the Daily Equity Report. And there's a PowerPoint presentation that has been fully put together with notes and articles through the Daily Equity Report that you can go back and look at as you're having those conversations to help you prospect with, to help you build new business, to help you tell your story about how you utilize relative strength and point and figure methodology to help not only manage risk in a portfolio, but take advantage of opportunities as they come up. So be sure to go back and take a look at that in the Daily Equity Report if you didn't see that throughout the course of the past couple of weeks.
And make it part of your New Year's resolution, right? Look at all 12 days. Go through each day because I think it helps. Because, thanks for bringing that up. Because it was, we did that for you, all the listeners. Is that we went through the client presentation and we discussed each slide, and I think it's going to help whether you're prospecting, so you're able to really share kind of what you do with clients or prospects, and also it just kind of reaffirms what you do and why you do it. Going through the methodology, and sometimes in a way it's not back to basics, right? It's more than that. It's getting familiar with some of the basic concepts of why do we have an X on a chart or why do we have an O on a chart, all the way up to the more advanced concepts of just tactical asset allocation. I think that's going to be important, heading into what should be an interesting year for 2018.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, Happy New Year, everybody. Once again, thank you for joining us this week, as always, and we'll look forward to be back on with you next week.